It's Open Air on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio, streaming online at ijpr.org. It's about a minute past one. I'm Eric Thiel, and we are thrilled to welcome into the JPR studios today Elin Jewell and her band. Welcome, you guys. Thanks for coming by.
Thank you so much for having us.
Elin, your music has been described over the years as country folk, surf rock, rockabilly. Maybe the best I've ever seen was something somebody wrote, killer cowboy noir.
Oh. Right?
Do you have a definition for this mix that you guys are creating?
I want to go with killer cowboy noir from
yeah,
now on.
It works, doesn't
yeah.
it? Good. Reviewers and music critics are always trying to compare any musician that comes along, any vocalist that comes along to others, just trying to help make those gaps. And people have likened Billie Holiday or, many others. Have there ever been any assumed influences of yours that were just completely off base and bizarre, like people that you'd never even heard of, that people said, oh, you must be influenced by so-and-so?
Somebody once said I have a voice like Grace Slick, which, who I've heard of, and I like her voice, but I don't hear the similarities at all. I've also been, a lot of people assume that I'm heavily influenced by Patsy Cline and Peggy Lee, which is, I appreciate what they did, but I never really felt, super influenced by them. And I've mostly been compared to Gillian Welch and Lucinda Williams and Billie Holiday. And they are, the three of those women are, I think, some of the biggest influences on me. Mm. Loretta Lynn.
And you're a Westerner. You grew up in Boise.
Yeah.
Actually, the city of or nearby?
The city of, yeah. Almost downtown Boise.
Right on. early on, I read that music for you was a steady stream of two greats, Bob Dylan and Beethoven. Is that true? Mm-hmm. That's sort of your upbringing?
Yeah. The first time I had any kind of musical aspiration was from listening to Beethoven piano sonatas in the back.
And piano was first for you, right, before guitar?
Piano was first, yep, yeah. At the age of 7. Guitar came quite a bit later, at the age of about 15 or so. I started trying to teach myself, and I took lessons for a little while. Didn't really last with those. I kind of wanted guitar to be more of a free form thing for me, and which is why I play kind of oddly. Mm-hmm. So I resisted taking lessons or anything for guitar, but piano, very classically trained, and always had was always taking lessons from a professional, and I still remember how to play some things on the piano, but yeah. It's been a while now.
There was also something I came across that was familiar to me and familiar to a lot of folks that live in this region, which is that rather than there being a lot of music on at home, there was a lot of music on road trips. And
yeah.
I think that's kind of a common thing for a lot of us out west with these big states and big distances in between metropolitan centers. So you spent a lot of time in the car listening to music.
Mm-hmm.
So that was common for you to just hop in the car and load up the cassette deck or whatever it was at the time?
Well, yeah. I mean, it started with, a road trip from Alaska to Idaho. My family had been living in Alaska for a year, and we were moving back to Idaho, and it was a very, very long trip, and as most car trips are out west. And my father has a tendency on road trips to listen to pretty much one thing or two things for the whole time. He kind of gets into a theme, So the theme for that first one there when I was a really little kid was Beethoven. And then later on it was Bob Dylan's Bootleg series, which had a huge influence on me. And I've always felt like traveling in the car and music have been very intertwined for me from the beginning.
And now you spend a ton of time on the road in cars.
Yeah, listening to music.
Elin Jewell's my guest live on Open Air here in the JPR studios. Can we hear a tune?
Sure. We'd like to start with I Remember You. This is from the new record. I remember you. You were full of broken bones. I tried to bring you cigarettes. You said, just leave me alone. I remember you. You were locked in a padded room. I tried to teach you solitaire. You just hollered at the moon. I remember you. I remember you. stranger now, but you stand out from the rest, 'cause I remember you. I remember you. Stories of your scars. We kept each other's secrets and slept in empty cars. I remember you. I showed you how to kiss. I let you shoot my hats off, 'cause I knew you wouldn't miss. And I remember you. Talking tongues of a kinship we could only deny. Now you think you're anonymous, a masked face without a name, but I know.
It's Elin Jewell live on Open Air with a tune from the new album called Queen of the Minor Key. We were talking about Boise. Was it possible for you to get much of a musical start in Boise, or did you kind of have to move on and move to another area before that really took off?
Well, I don't know if I had to move on for music to happen. I felt like I had to move on for kind of personal reasons. Mm. I just sort of grew up with wanderlust. It just kind of something I was born with. And I remember as a kid just really dreaming about what else was out there. And so I feel, you know, very fortunate that my career path has really brought me down so many roads. And we've gone all over the world together, me and my band. And so I'm definitely satisfying that wanderlust.
Yeah. I know early on you did quite a bit of busking, street performing, and busking tends to teach guitar players a specific way of playing because you're the only one up there.
Mm-hmm.
Have you changed your style of playing now that you're with a full band? Things that you find yourself not needing to do anymore because you have support players?
Yeah, definitely. I picked up the harmonica as a way to kind of perform by myself, and really relied pretty heavily on it because I've never been very adept at the guitar. I'm very honest about that. I know chords, and I've never learned how to solo. And frankly, I'm not really a guitar person.
You're not a
like
shredder.
Strumming along, and yeah, I'm not a shredder, and I leave that to the real guitar pros. But I chose to pick up the harmonica as a way of having something, an instrument that could, you know, take a solo. And I used to, when I was busking, pretty much every song involved the harmonica. And now that I'm with the band, it's, you know, maybe one per album I'll incorporate a harmonica song. I met Jason Beek, the drummer, first, and he introduced me to the other two guys there in the Boston area. Jason was a big fan of Johnny Shasha and Jerry Miller from their bands in the Boston area from way back. And so he, when I moved to town, he said, "Well, you want to get a band together? I know the best musicians in town. I'll introduce you to them." And so we made a record in 2005, Boundary County, our first one, and we've been together ever since.
You once said in an interview that folk music is the music of the people, not the music of people wearing suits trying to manufacture taste. You remember saying that?
That sounds like something
I'd
say.
Or people using computers messing with the way people sing. Does that mean that you feel like even this electrified killer cowboy noir, this electrified country folk stuff that you guys are doing is still folk music?
That's how I see it. Yeah. Definitely. I see a lot of early rock and roll as folk music. Pretty much anything with early in front of it is folk music to me, because it is music of the people, and as opposed to the computers.
Yeah.
I mean, I could be wrong. Maybe all music is folk music, but the way I see it is, if it's people playing instruments, if that's what's going on and that's what it sounds like is going on, that's folk music to me.
Can we hear a bit more of that music for the people?
Sure. this is another one from our new record. It's a song of mine called Warning Signs.
1, 2, 3, 4, 1, 2, 3. We
wove a sticky web in a dirty little game, and I was hypnotized. Your bad juju and all your weird voodoo made me fall blind. There was nothing there but the shell of the girl you left behind. But I wasn't seen, I just wasn't seen. Somehow I missed the warning signs. They were warning signs. Warning signs. Warning signs. But I want you for mine.
You know, a lot of your songs, and over the course of your albums, the majority of the songs have been originals. And in fact, this new album, I think all originals.
That's right, yeah.
Queen of the Monarchy. So many of your songs have this sense of straightforward, simple storytelling. And it's almost like these songs are spurred by the image you get on an old-time photograph. You know, they're just straightforward and simple. Are these stories of imaginary folks? Are these stories of people that you kind of know, or stories that you've read? Where does this stuff kind of come from?
Well, each song's a little bit different. They're mostly a blend of fiction and fact. And sometimes, you know, there are other people's stories that were told to me and that are, you know, mostly true, or my kind of my take on them. And that one, Warning Signs, that we just did, is pretty much, it's a blend of fiction and a a friend of mine's story. She had was having this relationship with this guy, and we all were trying to warn her about it forever, and she just wasn't really seeing the writing on the wall, so to speak. And I had been thinking about her for a while, and then I read a poem by Lucinda Williams. Her father is a great poet, and I've really been into his poetry lately. And he had this great line in one of his poems that mentions that the person who is lying, their name will be spelled out in a spider web. And I thought that was very creepy and interesting. And so I thought, well, that kind of matches what I've, what I'm thinking about with this friend of mine. And so that it kind of made its way into kind of more occult signs, warning signs that are obvious, but only if you know how to look for them, I guess.
You know, a lot of the songs tend to be about people or stories that aren't exactly choir boys. You know, they're not exactly leading squeaky clean lives.
Mm-hmm.
You must have kind of run across an interesting smattering of characters over the years to have had this kind of direction for a lot of your songs and stories.
Yeah. I also kind of collect stories about kind of off-center people. And I guess I'm more interested in the flaws of people and the flaws in relationships and sadder songs, more kind of darker subject matter. It's just an aesthetic of mine. I like the catharsis, and I also kind of like the unifying factor of misery. I think that people, I don't know, I think that's kind of what the blues are all about too. If you can sing about it, then it doesn't have you beat, and if you can sing about it, then other people can hear you singing about it and say, oh yeah, that's happening to me too, or that did happen to me, and I've got a friend in that misery, and so I think there's a lot of strength in sad songs, and it might sound like complaining about bad men, but it's more just an aesthetic, I think.
And a lot of people are able to infuse a lot of joy into the blues.
I think so. Yeah. I get very happy listening to sad songs. There's a Tear in My Beer is one of my favorite songs in the world.
speaking of sad songs and people that you've known, your previous album was a tribute album, but it went further than that. It was a tribute album and then sort of a tribute band at the same time.
That's right.
Tell me a little bit about that project.
Well, it started out as the four of us here in this band were kind of having a hard time with our favorite bars back in Boston. We were starting to, this is going to sound a little snotty, but we were just drawing too many people.
Hmm.
The crowds were just too big for us, and it was a real problem.
But you liked playing those specific places, right?
Yeah, those specific places. We started to really miss them, and because, we had to quit playing them because we sort of had outgrown them. And so we thought, well, if we can appear there anonymously, then we can still play there, and no one will come. It'll be great. So we decided to form a tribute band to Loretta Lynn, because we'd been listening to her a lot at the time. And we named it Butcher Holler after her little hometown in Kentucky. And we just did all Loretta Lynn songs. We learned about 30 of them right away and had our first gig like a few days later or something. And then shortly after that, learned that we were going to open for Loretta Lynn as the Elin Jewel band. And
not as Butcher Holler?
No, that would have been a bit awkward, doing all Loretta Lynn songs in front of her.
Yeah.
It started out as our kind of side project just for fun, and we ended up making an album of all Loretta Lynn material we released it last summer, and just kind of to say thank you to Loretta Lynn for being so awesome.
Can we hear another tune?
Sure. I'd like to do a song called Santa Fe. This one is, I think, the closest to being purely autobiographical as I've come so far. And this is from the new record as well. Any trouble, and we walked all the way back to Cortez. sang, "Help me, dear doctor, at the top of your lungs. You've been soaking up drink like a sponge." Little boy down the street, we all heard you mournfully call again and again for Roberta.
It's Open Air on the Rhythm and News Service. Elin Jewell and her band live in the JPR studios today. That tune, Santa Fe, comes from the new album, The Queen of the Minor Key. Elin, is there more significance to that name of the album, Queen of the Minor Key? You sort of touched a little bit on, you know, minor key songs or maybe down stories, but is there more significance to that?
In a way, it's an attempt at humor because I sort of mean it tongue-in-cheek to call myself the queen of anything, but it started out... As a friend of mine made fun of me with that. He introduced me. He's a musician, too, and we did a show together. And he said, "Ladies and gentlemen, the queen of the minor key." And I think it was because, you know, he was kind of teasing me that most of my songs are written in minor keys, and he thought that was a little bit over the top. And so at first I thought, oh, that, you know, that's sort of annoying. What did he mean by that? And is it okay that I write so many songs in minor keys? And then I just...
Did you get a complex about it? Or?
Yeah, I tend to get complexes pretty easily, but then my way of dealing with that is just to, like, kind of pretend as though I meant to do that. You know, like, oh, well, yeah, well. That's because I am the queen of the minor key, and so I just kind of decided to take it and run with it, and I made sort of a little story around it. You know, the main character in the song is in a way kind of the queen of nothing. You know, the lyrics are like a, you know, the bar stool is the throne, and there's no actual crown, although all of our graphic design now has crowns on everything, but that's all right.
And cooking is a big deal for you too. From
That's
what I understand.
True.
So
true.
Summertime, can I put you on the spot? What's a good, quick, whip it up summer recipe? Something that has been recent for you.
Well, I am obsessed with cool corn soup.
Cool corn soup.
Which also gets some odd reactions
right.
at first. But
do you pair that with the drink, the calimocha?
Sure. That'd be a great combo. Yeah. Yeah. On a really hot summer day, you just you take about 10 ears of corn and you slice the kernels off, and then you cook it just briefly in some little bit of milk and some shallots and some, you know, a little salt and pepper. It's very simple. And then you chill it, and it's like kind of almost corn gazpacho or something.
You guys probably don't get to have much of that kind of stuff when you're out on the road a lot, right?
No, we have, well, yeah. We used to eat at Cracker Barrel a lot, but we broke that habit. And we mostly rely on the hospitality of strangers, and people tend to feed us well when we're out on the road.
Yeah. And Jason, you mentioned that there's a show coming up in Eugene also. Is that true?
Yeah. Thursday, August 25th. Is that what we said?
So you're kind of going down to California after the Applegate show and then kind of coming back through?
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. There's a small flight back to the East Coast in between, but then...
Oh, boy.
Yeah.
So we're coming back. That's the main thing.
That's right.
Elin Jewell and her band, my guest, live on Open Air here on the Rhythm and News Service. The new album is called Queen of the Minor Key. Can we finish with one more tune?
Sure. This is called Reckless.
One, two, three.
Crazy child, you leave me breathless. You don't pay me no mind. It's all you all the time. Ooh, you're selfish. My heart isn't safe with you at the wheel. You don't care if it breaks. You don't care how I feel. You better watch the next turn. We're gonna crash and burn.
Jewel live on Open Air here on the Rhythm and News Service of Jefferson Public Radio. The new album's called The Queen of the Minor Key. That one is on Signature Sounds Records. Thank you guys so much for dropping by today. It's been
a
pleasure.
Thank you, Eric.